are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
Vernon Hu, welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkley Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Hey, I saw those razor-thin polls over the weekend between Clinton and Trump for president. It may not be quite as bad as it looks if you look deeper into the polls, as far as Hillary's concerned, but it could be a lot better if she wasn't contending with, oh yeah, Bernie Sanders. He's still around. And getting on her nerves and going nowhere. In fact, Bernie says the convention could get messy. But don't worry about it, because democracy's messy, and by the way, so is my life. Uh-oh. Speaking of which, has Rachel Maddow lost her mind? And what about Glenn Beck? He's the last conservative standing and smiling after that Facebook conservative confab. So what's the guy doing broadcasting out of facsimile of the Oval Office? We'll talk about that thanks to a big story request from one of our listeners. Inspiration to Action Challenge success stories. And oh yeah, it's Bob Dylan's 75th birthday. Wow. We will certainly salute the legendary singer-songwriter. Love to get you in the mix, too. You're listening live. It is Tuesday, May 24th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Live or on podcast, you know it's a 24-7 proposition at Twitter at AB Writes. And our social media maven Aurora is back in the booth with the Facebook page open, so have at it. The show today brought to you in part by Quaker Chewy Granola Bars. Enjoy delicious nutrition in every bite. Also by AT&T, mobilizing your world. And by PopNet, arts, culture, and conversation on air online. PopNet features select editions of the Amy Beth Arkley Show. So grab yourself a cup of joe. And let's go. It's our Bernie and Bob 75-year-old rock star edition of the Coffee Clatch on the Amy Beth Arkley Show.
$69.
I'm gonna barbecue your ass in molasses!
From the Stylistics, a Forgotten 45 for Shimmy. I'm the Amy Beth Arquisha. Thanks for checking in. Rock and roll, just a singer in a rock and roll band for the Moody Blues. And so you want to be a rock and roll star from the Byrds for Bernie. Yeah, Senator Sanders got that rock and roll star delusion running through his head, and he won't let it go. And some people love it about him. He's steadfast, he's determined, he's fiery, he's feisty, and he can be charming at times. So, yeah, he's there. He's got a right to be there. Keep saying it, and I mean it, but I wish he would tone it down already. Because these new polls that are out, and there were a bunch of them over the weekend that came out, NBC, Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post ABC poll, CBS poll, a whole bunch of them came out, and they're really in a dead heat. Most of them, I think, have Hillary up by like 2 or 3 points, but there are a couple that have Trump up by 2 or 3 points, so it's kind of a wash. If you look deeper into the polls, however, Hillary still has a good advantage because in most of the important categories, experience, foreign policy, shared values, Hillary does much better. So, you know, let's not get panicky on the blue side of the aisle quite yet. But it's not all great news either, which is why I question Rachel Maddow's sensibilities these days. She was on her show yesterday saying, oh, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. In fact, it's already fine. They're almost ready to wrap it up. But not so much, because Bernie is saying the convention could be messy, and he's really miffed, I think, that Hillary Clinton has declined to debate him in California. I mean, the woman is pulled in two directions. And she's got a big, sizable lead from the latest polls in California, by the way. But who knows? That's a couple of weeks away. And those polls have known to erode. Her leads have eroded in the past, that's for sure. I'd like her to finish strong just to make a definitive answer as she enters that convention. But they've already made some concessions, and this is what Rachel was alluding to last night, the DNC and the Clinton people, to give Bernie Sanders folks a big slice of the pie when it comes platform time. I think a third of the folks on the platform committee will be from the Sanders campaign. So we'll see. But again, it's a mixed message kind of deal because they know they're in the catbird seat as losers who the Clinton people need to win. I mean, you need these supporters and you need Bernie to get out there. So there's kind of that tricky dance. And Hillary's already talking conciliatory. She's, you know, happy that he's challenged us on different issues, et cetera, and so forth in her speeches. But she's still focusing on Trump because Trump has taken pot shots like there's no tomorrow, mostly ancient pot shots about Bill Clinton and his scandals of the 90s. Yet when somebody brought up the John Barron, you know, invented PR guy from the 25 years ago, he said, I'm not going to go into something that happened 25 years ago. So Trump remains a contradiction in terms, and he wants to control the conversation. And guess what? Cable TV, for the most part, is allowing him to do it. They allow him to phone in, and they allow him to control the story of the day with all this stuff. Because what's come out about Trump, not just about the taxes that were leaked from the 70s, in which he paid actually zero in taxes, but also the business with the housing market in 2006, 2007, when he was actually heard saying he hopes it fails, and the market crashes because it'll be good for him and his business. This is really could play to some people, and again, they're going to target the advertising from the Clinton campaign and the super PACs into these swing markets and places that were hurt really hard in Virginia and Ohio and other places by the housing crush. So we'll see. We'll see if it works out. But the narrative and the story of what Trump has done is overshadowed by what Trump does in terms of taking pot shots at the Clintons. So whose responsibility is it? I mean, what about the media and their focus on all this negativity and their boosting of Trump and their kind of takedown of Hillary in a way? And even Chris Matthews, who purports to be a Democrat, I saw over the summer glimmers of his becoming convinced and, you know, bamboozled by Trump himself. Well, he says, well, the guy's a mixed bag, but he builds things. I mean, you know, with stars in his eyes. God love you, Chris Matthews. I mean, he's a 70-year-old guy who is really still enthusiastic about politics and life, and I appreciate that. But he can get be bamboozled for someone who's savvy and has been in this business for so long and been around politicians and people of power for so long. He's already, you know, talking about Hillary and how she, you know, her unapprovals are really high. Well, guess what? Donald Trump's unapprovals are even higher. And his unapprovals, his unfavorables, are because of what he's done and what he said. Hillary Clinton's, for the most part, are baked in because of all the mud that has been slung at her for 25-plus years. And as I said, I think on Friday, I don't know anybody else who could take it the way she's taken it from both sides, Trump and Bernie, from the right and the left, to be able to still stand and keep going. So I think she's going to become ever more impressive as this campaign goes on, if given the chance. So, you know, we have to be positive and optimistic that it's going to come in for a landing and Bernie will finally get on board. But he's still taking pot shots. I mean, he's calling out the lesser of two evils. On the one hand, Donald Trump is a horrible bigot and a disaster, but it's the lesser of two evils between Hillary and Donald Trump. I mean, how do you walk that one back when you get into the general campaign? That's my question. What do you think? Reach out via Twitter, AB Rides, phone line 347-857-4505. And yes, the Facebook page is open, and we have a couple of comments already coming in there. Let's take a look at this. Dan writes that some people who are going to vote for Trump say it's because Hillary's untrustworthy, but based on the following reality, and he quotes the ticker from PolitiFact, which checks, you know, how many times people are telling the truth and how many times they're not. True or false, or mostly true, Hillary gets 50%, Trump 8%. True, mostly true, or half true, Hillary 72%, Trump 23%. False or pants on fire, Trump 62%, Hillary 13%. Pants on fire, Trump 19%, Hillary 2%. And then he asks the following questions. Are they weak-minded enough to blindly believe any lie just because it is repeated over and over? Welcome to cable TV, right? Too lazy to take a few minutes to see the reality? Too dumb to understand the reality even when it's told to them? Brainwashed, programmed, all of the above? Well, I don't know. I think there's a visceral reaction, and some people are scared, frustrated, angry, and they do feed into it. I don't really see how you like Trump better than you like Hillary, even if you go up your personality and temperament, that's for sure. But some people maybe are so baked in with the unfavorables from Hillary Clinton for all those years that just won't vote for her. There may be a sexist element, too. I don't want to play this up too much, but there are some people who don't want to see a woman president, whoever it may be, and the fact that it's Clinton adds to it. I don't know. But, you know, Trump is out with all kinds of weirdo conspiracy theories, again, resurrecting the whole Vince Foster business, of course, all the sex scandals, which, as somebody pointed out, isn't that like, you know, people in glass houses, because Trump has his own sex scandals. But we can't go there because those are too old. Also, by the way, he's on tape saying that, you know, Bill Clinton was railroaded, and the only crime that he committed in terms of those scandals was he went after ugly women, because the women that he had flings with were not the beauties that Trump liked to bed. So, ouch a doodle do on that one, too. Your take via Twitter, AB Rights, phone line 347-857-4505. Chrissy on the Twitter feed says, yes, Bernie has got to bring this in already. It's time. Tanya says, thanks for calling BS on BS. Enough is enough. But Fritzy says, hey, what are you afraid of? He's got a good voice, a good movement, and he's got a right to run. Absolutely to all of the above. I'm with you. He has the right to run. I just wish he'd tone it down. That's my take. I'd love to continue to hear yours. Twitter feed, of course, is AB Writes. As we said, it's Bob Dylan's 75th birthday. Hard to believe that Bob Dylan is actually older than Bernie Sanders. But just a couple of months. Bernie will turn 75 in September. Bob Dylan, oh my goodness, one of the most iconic figures in contemporary music and popular culture, started out all those years ago on the road, born Robert Zimmerman in Minnesota, hit the road at a young age, and never looked back. So let's celebrate with some of his songs, and songs that other people interpreted that were his. Here's him, Bob himself, trying to catch the wind on the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Happy birthday, Mr. Dylan.
In the chilly of a minute of uncertainty, I want to be in the warm hold of your love and mine. To feel you all around me and to take your hand along the sand. I bet I may as well try and catch the wind. When sundown pales the sky, I want to hide a while behind your smile, and everywhere I'd look, your eyes are fine. For me to love you now would be the sweetest thing, it would make me sing. My fears.
It ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. It don't matter anyhow. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe.
See her anywhere.
Signature and a little impression of Bob Dylan on his classic Simple Twist of Fate on the Amy Beth Arkwi Show, his early former Paramore, of course. And what else do we hear? Peter, Paul, and Mary doing Don't Think Twice, It's All Right, and Dylan from the early days trying to catch the wind. Bob Dylan, of course, a very enigmatic man, someone who started out oh so young, traveling the country, admiring the songs and the lifestyle of Woody Guthrie, the folk era. But when he became really successful, he kind of eschewed the idea of becoming America's official folk troubadour. Didn't want to really be the one who sang only about anti-war anthems and civil rights, although some of his songs do pertain to that, Blown in the Wind, for example. But that was kind of the rift, I guess, between he and Joan, because she is equally steadfast activist as she is a performer. He wanted to be free to just create his art, a true, pure artist. And, so when you think of him as 75, you're like, wow. Bob Dylan is that old. But in fact, artists are always young because the creative force is the true fountain of youth. And that's what I always say. Keep creating, you'll always stay young. It's not about an age, not about a number. And that's why I'm so gratified when so many people dip into our Inspiration to Action Challenge and try it and then tell us how it's working for them, because I know that takes some effort and some courage in some cases to reach out. So I do appreciate it, and I hope if it works for you, you'll let us know. I want to send out a little salute to Edie. I think it's Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Is that right, Trudy? She says, I've embarked on a creative journey thanks to you and the challenge, one that I haven't embarked on in years. I'm starting to write and play and feel free as an artist again. I'm not sure where it will lead, but so far so good. I'm happier anyway. Well, that's really key, Edie. Thank you so much for sharing, because you don't have to know where it's leading. I mean, that's part of the fun, the adventure. I always say diving into a new project at the beginning is always really fun. It's daunting in some ways, if you look at it that way, like, oh, my God, where's it going to go? But it's also really exciting and fun because you don't know where it will lead you. And if it will lead you anywhere, frankly. Some things just don't. You know, I have, like, an idea journal of all these different titles and characters and things. And some of these things I know will just never come to fruition, but I don't know which one it will be that will grab my attention and take me through and pull the story to the next, you know, to completion. So keep going, Edie, and thank you so much for sharing. And if the Inspiration to Action Challenge has worked for you, I'd love to give you a shout-out, too. I think it recognizes the effort you've been putting in, and it also helps other folks. So send us a missive over at the website. It's Amy Beth Arkwi, ARKAWY.com. Easy access to the Twitter feed, and we'll give you that shout-out. And by the way, if you need some cajoling, you want to start a conversation, creativity coaching conversation, first one is always on me. You got nothing to lose. I'll give you a primer on the challenge, some other tips and ways we can set you on a more creative and productive course. Give me about 2 weeks to connect, and we'll do it. Again, it's Amy Beth Arkwi, ARKAWY.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. And while you're there, you can peruse my stories, the Eliza Gordon Mysteries, Killing Time, Dead Silent, the new one, Murder, She Tweets, all available via Cozy Cat Press for ebook and paperback. Also, Chasing the Kodak, the Cozy Cat Press group mystery fiction noir, a collection of short stories via Hen House Press, and other goodies, all at the website. So check it out when you get a chance. And check us out today. If you have a chance, join our conversation, inspiration, politics, whatever's on your mind, via Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505. And our pal Aurora tells us the Facebook page is also open. So go ahead, have at us. But we're going to continue our celebration of the great music of Bob Dylan, who's got such a huge songbook, and so many people have you know, attempted and performed his songs. But these days, Bob Dylan himself has turned to the American Songbook. He's got one album out already, I think, of standards, and another one forthcoming. Maybe it drops today. I'm not sure if it's coming on his birthday or sometime soon. It's hard to imagine him doing Frank Sinatra, but there you have it. We all have to try different things. Here's a great song, one of the Bob Dylan classics, All Over Now, Baby Blue, done by Van Morrison and them back in the day. Give a listen.
You think we'll last, but whatever you wish to keep, you better grab it fast. Yonder stands your orphan with his gun, crying like a fire in the sun. Look out, baby, the saints are coming through, and it's all over now, baby blue. The highway is for gambling, better use your sense. Take what you have gathered from, go into them. The empty-handed painter from your streets is drawing crazy patterns on your sheets. The sky too is falling in over you. Leave your stepping stones behind. There's something that calls for you. Forget the debt you've left. That will not follow you. Your lover who has just walked through the door has taken off his blankets from the floor. The carpet too is falling over you.
Johnny's in the basement. Hold on, before I begin, Sharon over here is doing the sign language. She's got a lot of signs worked out. I say good luck to you, Sharon. There's a lot of words in this song. She's worked very hard. Give her a round of applause here. You ready? Johnny's in the basement, mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement, thinking about the government. Man in a trench coat, badge out, laid off. Since he's got a bad cough, wants to get paid off. Look out, kids, something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway. Looking for a new friend, a man in a goose skin cap and a pink bed. Wants $11 bills, but you only got 10. Feet, foot, face full of black soot, tucking at the heat, put plants in a bed, but bone stabbed anyway. Maggie says a minute in a must bust early, mate. Orders from the DA. Look out, kids, don't matter what you did. Walk on your tiptoes, don't tie no bows. Better stay away from those that care around a fire hose. Keep a clean nose and wash your plain clothes. You don't need a weatherman, I know it's where the wind blows. Well, hang there. Harder than if anything is gonna sell. Try hard, get bored, get back, ride bail, get jail, jump bail. Tony on me, it's fair. Look out, kids, you're gonna get hit. I lose this, cheat this, six time users. Hanging around the feeders, a girl by the whirlpool is looking for a new fool. Don't follow leaders, watch the fuck the people. Special guest Justin Papp on the second drum right here. Put the Simon Police on the second drum up there. Keep on short pants, learn to dance, get dressed, get blessed. Gotta be a success, please and please her. Buy gifts, don't steal, don't live. 20 years of school and they put you on the desk. Look out, kids, they got it all here. Jump down a manhole, light yourself a candle. Don't wear sandals or try to avoid a scandal. You don't want to be a bum, you better chew gum. The pump don't work, cause the van took the handle.
It sure has been a long time.
Classic, When I Paint My Masterpiece, on the Amy Beth Arkowi Show. Also, Van Morrison, back in the day with them, a great version of It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. And the Lumineers, recorded live from Mountain Fest a few years ago, with Dylan's early classic, Subterranean Homesick Blues. Yeah, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. As we talk politics and music and how they intersect from time to time, including in that particular song. That was Bob Dylan with a little social and political jibe that's still applicable these days, that's for sure. Very prophetic, very profound, and with a bulging songbook for sure. Bob Dylan, an American treasure, celebrating his 75th birthday today. Twitter feed abuzz at AB Rights. We're talking music, politics, anything else on your mind, and the folks chiming in about all of the above. Nixie says, hey, listening live, AB. Love the mix of music and comments, as always. Good going. Well, thank you, Nixie. Happy to have you aboard again. Sean says, enjoying the music and the comments. I'm with you on everything. Well, thank you, Sean. I appreciate that. You don't have to be, by the way, to join us, but I do appreciate that. Ask Not, I think that's the moniker, says, hey, what are you folks so afraid of? Bernie's the guy. He's running a revolution. Hop on board or be left behind. Well, yeah, I'm for the revolution, really, in theory. It's just not ready to get there quite yet, and you have to have the person who can best serve you, who really can actually win and get the nomination and then go on and hopefully win the presidency. That's the problem here. So like Bernie or don't like Bernie, the reality is the reality. And then we've done the math. And then, believe me, I'm not a math major, but I've done it. So Hillary will be the nominee. The question is how badly dinged up will she be by the time she gets there? There's talk now. And it could change, and I'm hopeful. I really am, because I like Bernie in so many ways, but I don't know. I got a bad feeling about what he's doing now in terms of the tone and keeping the rhetoric ratcheted up to a level that may be insurmountable, maybe not. I mean, maybe I'm overblowing it. Maybe Rachel Maddow was right. Everything is fine, and this is what happens at the end of the campaign. But there's talk within the Sanders campaign, particularly from his manager, Jeff Weaver, who, as I have said, to me reminds me of the love child of Debbie Downer and Eeyore. You know, he thinks that we're going to keep this going till the convention, which means after June 7th, when the final primary votes, or it's actually June 14th, I guess, is Washington, D.C. But after that, there's still a chunk of time, about a month before the convention in July, where we're going to keep this up. And for what purpose, when Hillary will have the nomination sealed up at that point, it makes no sense. I mean, even if she's a couple of shy of pledged delegates and they're going to challenge the superdelegates, it's not going to happen. And to keep that rhetoric up for another whole month could help Trump so-called normalize his campaign and give him an edge, because the Republicans, with all the talk of the contested convention in Ohio, have seemed to have coalesced around him. I mean, there's still some steadfast, high-profile Republicans, like Mitt Romney and the Bushes, who are not for him. But they're out of office now, and everybody else seems to be coalescing because they want to beat the Clintons. They don't want Hillary Clinton in the office. They think they can manipulate Trump into giving putting the right-wing people on the Supreme Court. And I keep saying that's the key. That has always been the key, especially now, because we have so many justices who have been on the court for a long time who are, frankly, ready to retire. And three or four are possible, even in one term. I mean, that is really astounding how the court could shift. And I don't know about you. I suspect most of you who are on the blue side of the aisle anyway, and I know we have listeners who are not, but would like to see it shift to the left and at least retain the rights that we have so far. With Donald Trump at the helm and appointing Supreme Court justices to the right, you could look at Roe v. Wade possibly being overturned. I mean, this is something which we've accepted as baked in law for so many decades now. It's kind of scary, and I think people have to think about that. And I think going to the point that Dan, I think it was, posted on Facebook about the PolitiFacts and the trustworthiness and so forth, you have to look beyond all this baked-in garbage and the smears that are thrown out there and the fact that I think one of our Facebook people, Vernetta, says it's the mainstream media that keeps perpetuating these lies and smears. That's right. People don't look for themselves. They don't do some homework here. There really isn't a neutral corner to go to, and frankly, I don't know who wants to go to it anymore. I mean, CNN, I guess, tries to be the most, but still this morning I heard on CNN the same kind of garbage and the same kind of nonsense with Donald Trump. I guess it's hard to ignore it when he throws out these smears, but maybe they could. Maybe they had a moratorium and said, we're just going to talk about issues. We're not going to talk about the negative ads. The negative ads will play out in the public sphere. People will see them, but we're just going to talk about issues and hold Donald Trump's feet to the fire rather than having spokespeople come on talking about how horrible the Clintons are based on the, you know, and deflecting all Donald Trump's garbage. That's all I heard this morning. I didn't hear anything about Donald Trump on the economy, Donald Trump on foreign policy, and therefore we're also not hearing anything on Hillary Clinton on those things. So this is dangerous. And maybe it is dereliction of duty on the part of the mainstream media and cable TV in particular, and people are going to their corners. Even CNN is not, although Chris Cuomo, I love him. His interviews. He did an interview with this guy, I think it's Michael Cohen, who's one of Trump's spokespeople. The guy is so inarticulate. I know he's a lawyer, but he's cut from the same cloth as Trump. I mean, these guys, they may be very educated, but they have this way of talking like they're from the street, and that's Donald Trump, too. I mean, half the time Donald Trump sounds a little nuts. Half the time he doesn't sound too bright. And most of the time he sounds insulting. And therefore, he's got a winning way with a swath of the electorate. I'm hoping that swath won't grow, but I fear it might if Bernie keeps at it. I don't know. There was an article floated around. It was written, I guess, a few months back by this guy who was was at one point, I don't know if he still is, the editor of the Burlington Free Press, so knows Bernie Sanders quite well. And he says he agrees with him politically and always thought they would get along, but they don't, because he found him to be a moral scold, humorless, pious, self-righteous, and only out for himself. He wanted to be the one who carried the water for the progressives in Vermont. And that's not a good sign. And it, you kind of see some of that, although he's kind of he does got a little bit of a sense of humor these days. But you see that in this race, too, where he wasn't raising money like Hillary was for the down-ballot candidates, which is really, you got to do it if you want to try to change Congress. And certainly if you have a lofty agenda, as Bernie Sanders does, it can't be enacted if you don't have the right players in place to help you. But he's to be fair, now he selected, hand-picked a few people that he thinks are progressive, and he's helping to raise money for them. But that's just a few people, including the guy who is running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's the DNC chair and a congresswoman from Florida, who's going to face a primary in August. But Rachel Maddow pointed this out yesterday very eloquently and elaborately about how Hillary Clinton beat Bernie Sanders by a wide margin in Florida, and also, by the way, trounced him even bigger in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's district. So whether he has any sway there is another matter, but it's intriguing. So it's a fascinating piece. We'll post it for you on the social media feeds, but it's disturbing if that's the personality and you're stuck in it. And I really think he's entrenched in this egomaniacal trip he's on, that whole rock star thing, that here he is, he's got a forum, he's got a platform, he's got something to say that people want to hear. And he's far better than Trump, no question about it. I mean, just like he says, you know, Clinton is better than Trump. Because he's not feeding into bigotry and xenophobia and demagoguery. He's talking about real fears, frustrations, and inequalities in this country. And he's got good points. And we'd love to have those people aboard. And you know what? Pushing Hillary a little bit to the left is not a bad thing. But at some point, you have to give up the ghost, so to speak, and you have to get on board. And I don't think he has to get out of the race. I've said that many times. But I do think he needs to wrap it up and change his tone. Stick with the Trump thing. I think he's going to be very effective on Donald Trump when the time comes. I don't want to see that time coming in July when it can come in June. That's what I'm saying. So between now and the end of the race, the primary race in June, that's when he really needs to get on board, not continue to nitpick and needle Hillary Clinton all the way to the convention. They're making concessions for him, and they should, because he's earned that right to have people on the platform committee and the rules committee and for him to give a good speech. But it's got to be an eloquent speech and it's got to be a unifying speech in order to make this really work. That's my opinion. What's yours? Twitter feed, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. So this Glenn Beck business, yes, we were going to talk about this last week. The Facebook had a confab, a conservative with the conservatives, because there was some talk about Facebook being liberally biased, that they would edit stories. And at first I was like, well, what does Facebook have to do with editing stories? They just have a feed. You get whatever the people that you are on your news feed get. So, of course, if most of your friends are liberal, you'll get liberal things. Most of your friends are conservative, you'll get conservative articles and comments, etc. But apparently they have a thing, a little sidebar that says trending, and those stories are curated by the Facebook editors and staff. And there was some talk that they were suppressing more right-wing outlets and websites from trending, and they were doing it deliberately. Facebook denies it. They say it's all an algorithm, but they have to fix it to make sure that it works properly. But they have this confab with conservative pundits and other media-type people from the conservative end of things. And at the end of it, Glenn Beck came out and was praising Mark Zuckerberg and the Facebook people to the hilt and saying they really believe they want to make this a neutral platform and they're going to work for it. But other conservatives, he said he got a bad feeling from his conservative compadres because they were not too thrilled with it and they didn't think they were buying the story. They were buying the line that they were going to work on it. So I don't know where that leads us. But Leland, one of our heartier regulars who loves to contact me via email, and I appreciate that because you can do it any way you want, Twitter, email, Facebook, whatever works for you. Said this is a big story request because we were going to talk about this and we got busy with other things and we forgot. I said, what about that story? And by the way, he said, what's the deal with Glenn Beck? He's now broadcasting out of his version of an Oval Office. And it's true, I've noticed it because on my cable system, I don't know if you get it, we get the Blaze Network. So occasionally I'll dip in because I'm a radio junkie, so I like to see other radio studios and setups. And for a while, they would broadcast a show and he had this weird studio with all kinds of weird artifacts and whatever. It was a studio, a real studio. Like a soundstage. It looked pretty big, and they kind of cut it off with desks. Or, but lately, I don't know how long this has been going on, they've been broadcasting out of facsimile, I kid you not, of the Oval Office. So they sit there on couches, and one guy sits behind the Oval Office desk. They also have their artifacts, you know, smattered in there. But it's a little strange. Is this guy on some kind of an ego trip? I mean, does Glenn Beck have delusions of, you know, presidential delusions running through his head? It's weird. He's weird. He doesn't like Donald Trump. He was a Ted Cruz supporter. Now, of course, he's predicting Donald Trump is definitely going to win because as much as he hates Donald Trump, he hates Hillary Clinton even more, although he says he can't vote for either one. But it is kind of bizarre. You're right, Leland. I don't get it, but it's fascinating. And, of course, he has kind of a feud going with Alex Jones. I don't know if you know Alex Jones. He's a very right-wing. I mean, he makes Glenn Beck seem normal. Out there, conspiracy theory guy who's on the internet radio show. And he's pretty popular, though. I mean, there are people that actually believe him. I think Rosie O'Donnell bought some of his stories of the conspiracies about 9/11 and all that kinds of stuff. He's definitely a 9/11 truther. In fact, I remember a while ago, a couple of years ago, they had him on The View. I forget what he was supposed to talk about, but he came out with his truther nonsense, and Barbara Walters, who was still on The View at that time, looked like her head was going to explode. They wrapped it up so fast, and I am sure one or two producers got the axe that day because it was incredible to watch. It's like, you're kidding me. You don't vet these people that are coming on your show? Because when I heard he was coming on, I was like, do they even know who this guy is? And obviously they didn't know what they were dealing with. But he's really out there. And he has a feud with going with Glenn Beck because he says Glenn Beck is crazy, and Glenn Beck, of course, says that he's crazy. And he is. So, and Beck sometimes makes sense, but sometimes not so much. Anyway, that's that story with the Facebook being too conservative. I never thought of it that way. I know I had a friend once on Facebook who is a Trumpian, believe it or not, who was complaining. You know, she believes that Trump is great, and she's always upset. She says, well, you know, I can't say anything about him or I get shot down because everybody's liberal here. Well, it's only I just said, well, it's only whoever your friends are. So if your friends are liberal, they'll attack you, but if your friends are conservative, they won't. I mean, that's the experience that I have. I wasn't thinking about the trending stuff. But, you know, Facebook is an open platform, and it should be. And it should be neutral. So I'm glad they're working on whatever those whatever needs to be done in the system to make it work, because it should be open to everybody. And, of course, financially speaking, they want it to be a platform. It should be a neutral platform. I don't even know why they bother with the trends, but I guess it's interesting. You see something, you might click it on. There's so many things going on the Internet, if you notice, and that's why we have cultural ADD. God help kids these days who are exposed to all this stuff at such a young age, because it's rapid, it's changing, and everybody gets into it. And when you're trying to promote something, I know this from the promoting standpoint of promoting books or the radio show or anything else, I mean, you really have to be careful and target things and time it and so forth. You have to be very strategic, and even then it's a guessing game because there's so much stuff coming at you. It's like everybody's promoting each other, you know, or promoting themselves. I don't know if anybody's consuming the creative juices that are flowing out or just putting them out. Either way, I think we live in a creative age, and it's a good thing, as I put on my creativity coaching counseling cap, because when people are creating, I think they're happier. But you also, as a creator, want somebody to consume it. So you want some consumers. So I'm always happy when people want to read or listen, if you know what I'm saying. Hey, listen to us. Feel free to chime in via Twitter, AV Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. Bob Dylan, of course, probably because of his distinct singing style, and I know some people who don't like it, has been lampooned very often. And someone who does lampooning and impressions oh so well of many singers is Jimmy Fallon. Listen to this one. This is a lot of fun.
Bob Dylan came on our show, and he's awesome. We love Bob Dylan. He came and I said, Bob, how you doing, man? He said, cut the crap. I said, well, would you like to play a song or something like that? He goes, shh, shh, shh. So you're going to play like a Rolling Stone, Blowing in the Wind, Positively 4th Street, any of that? He goes, shut your face. I don't want to do any of my songs. So I just want to do my, if I can, I want to do my favorite TV show theme. The weirdest thing. And so, well, here it is. It went something like this. Well, Bob Dylan plays the harmonica. It's different than Neil Young. He just gets the highest part of the harmonica and just blows the shit out of it.
New boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs and it's understood. He's just there to take good care of me like he's one of the family. Charles in charge of a days and a night. Charles in charge of a wrongs and a right. Charles in charge of a day.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Jacob Dylan with the Wallflowers. That's Bob's baby boy. And the difference on the Amy Beth Arkley Show. And Jimmy Fallon doing Dylan, doing Charles and George theme. I love it. Beth Arkley Show, happy birthday. 75 candles on Bob Dylan's cake. What a legend. And oh, so many great stories and songs. They're in his songbook, for sure. Hey, thanks so much for rocking and rolling with us here today as we bridge the gap between music and politics and inspiration on the Twitter feed at AB Writes. Love it when you play with us in real time because I know so many more of you are listening on podcast. But it's fun when you do. And Jill says, hey, I really enjoy the tunes and the commentary digging the Dylan. Well, thank you. Helen says, I'm pissed that we have to, that's what she said, I'm pissed that we have to vote between HRC and Trump. Hate them both. By the way, don't like Bernie either. Go green, Helen. There's a green ticket, or the Libertarian Party, which apparently is going to be, they think, I guess they vote on their slate this weekend. Gary Johnson, the former Republican governor of New Mexico, and William Weld, the former Republican governor of Massachusetts. Will that hurt or help, and who? We don't know. They usually are very nebulous in terms of what they do, but they've been polling a little bit higher of late, and will that take a bite out of Trump or Clinton or both? Because the Libertarians, for the most part, are socially liberal and fiscally conservative. So they could go either way, I guess. If people are fed up, maybe some folks will go there. I mean, there are alternatives. I just say do your homework and be honest with yourself about who you really believe, A, could win, and B, is going to support your beliefs, your hopes and aspirations for yourself, your family, and the country. Then you got to let it go and do it. But, you know, don't just vote again. Don't just vote against something, and don't just vote because you're mad that your candidate of choice, say it's Bernie Sanders, or say it's Ted Cruz or whoever didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? You got to really look at the what's going to be have the best effect. And I can't see Trump being that one person that's going to do it in terms of temperament, in terms of experience, in terms of whatever the heck ideology he has today, in terms of what he has done and the way he's lived his life does not indicate that he is ready to go anywhere near that Oval Office. Think about that. I mean, Glenn Beck should stay in the Oval Office sooner than Donald Trump. Well, maybe not. Anyway, that's my take. What's yours via Twitter, AB Writes, phone line 347-857-4505. And, the Facebook page is open as well. So what do you think about the fact that Hillary has declined the debate in California? At one point, they did, to be fair, say they were going to have an extra four debates. They've had three of them. But she says, no, she can't do it schedule-wise. Some people are unhappy about it, I guess, on the Bernie side. Other people, Mercy on Facebook says, good, she doesn't need to waste her time on Bernie. She is the nominee, end of story. She needs to get ready for the fool that the Republicans are presenting as their nominee. She will debate the Donald. All right, well, we'll see. Yes, obviously she's not going to debate Bernie, but the only thing that I was going to say is maybe she should to appease him, but they are appeasing him in many ways in terms of the convention, and sometimes you just have to accept the math and move on. And she's doing that, and she's a tough customer, that's for sure. Twitter feed AB Writes, Johnny Fever's Hangover chiming in, listening live for a change, really like the music and the commentary as usual. You go, girl. And Sue says, yeah, we'll have to catch much of it on podcast. Hey, don't forget, all the shows are archived as such. You can follow the Amy Beth Arkley Show at the Blog Talk Radio site, also at Stitcher and Mixcloud, iTunes, NetNow, and be on the listen for select editions on the Arts Radio Network over the weekend and on PopNet. And, of course, all roads lead back to the website, amybetharkley.com. And you can friend me on Facebook. You can follow our producer, Trudy Hart, on Twitter at Radio Trudy, and follow me for the 24/7 conversation on Twitter at AB Writes. So Bob Dylan went solo, toured with the band, and did a little thing some years back. They call it a super group, I guess, with Roy Orbison, Jeff Lynne, George Harrison, Tom Petty. They call themselves the Traveling Wilburys, one of the classics. Not quite there, but we're reaching the end of the line. I'm Amy Beth Arkley Show.
Well, it's all right. Someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe down the lane. Well, it's all. just glad to be here, happy to feel that. And it don't matter if you're by my side.
Traveling Wilburys on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Hey, thanks so much for joining us in real time. Don't forget to be on the lookout, the listen for the podcast. Thanks to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora in the booth, Emil at headquarters for keeping us moving. Coming up on Friday for your weekend, a revisit of our Pop Americana show, your unofficial soundtrack to Memorial Day, etc. Give yourselves extra time if you're traveling. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Leave you with one more from Bob Dylan. Whoever you are, you're going to have to serve somebody. Happy birthday, Bob. Take care.
With a long finger cut, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. But it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll act, dancing on the stage. Money does it to command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high. They may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live. Like to wear silk. Might
You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.